As we experience life, we have our ups and downs. But God, you are a constant in our life. You are always a part of it, and we thank you for that. We ask for your presence in this service, that you would speak the words you want spoken, and that we could hear, not just with our minds, but with our heart, that we could understand clearly the message you have for each one here. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for this day, in Christ's name. Amen. Steadfast love. What does the word steadfast mean to you? I have some dictionary definitions, but does steadfast mean, it's not a word that we normally use in our everyday vocabulary, at least it's not in mine, but steadfast.
Always there.
Always there.
Constant.
Constant.
Always strong.
Always strong. Firmly fixed in place. So if we say love, that is firmly fixed in place. Not subject to change. There's only one entity that can say not subject to change, and that is God.
Beginning and the end, the new and all, and the beginning and the end.
The beginning and the end, that's right. It's always there, constant. And it's something we can be firm in, the belief of God's love. You know, when things go well, it's easy to sing songs of praise and to worship God, to talk about God and how awesome he is when things are going well. This happens when we're aware of God's rescue and redemption. When we're aware of God in our life, we feel very good about things. We see things, and it's a positive. These are the times it's easy to say, his steadfast love, his unchanging love endures forever. It's easy to say that when it's going well. What about the other times? Maybe everybody in here just has the good times. I don't think so. When we feel we have nothing left to offer, and I think every one of us has been there, then that we've used up. There's just nothing left. We believe that we're on our last rope, or we're at the end of the rope and the knot is slipping. We've been there. We are in the midst of a storm and we do not see a way out. When everything around us is closing in, you know, and do we still speak of God's steadfast love in those times? Do we feel God's steadfast love in those times? You know, when we're in those times, where's the focus? Where do you end up finding yourself thinking the most about? Self, me. This is how it's affecting me. We don't focus on God. We don't focus on anything but this huge storm that's closing in on us and how it affects us. I see a lot of vertical shaking of heads, so I must not be by myself in that world. But it's so true. We get our focus off of the one that can help. Listen to the words.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing that.
Even in those times, God is faithful in his steadfast love. Is your hope alone with God? Can you honestly say, it is well with my soul? No matter what the trauma, no matter what the joy, you may be living on top of a wonderful time in your life. Is it well in your soul? Is God a picture during the up times? Sometimes that's the time when it's harder to see God because things are clicking along so well. It's when it's dark that we sometimes can hear that voice speak to us. An unmovable love, that's what God's love is for us. That's what Psalms talks about, that unmovable love. Often it is in those dark moments when we feel the most alone or the most abandoned that we see his love shine brighter and push through more powerfully to us than ever. We each have a story or multiple stories we can tell. You know, our daughter, Julie, when she was 18 months, 16 months, and inhaled a peanut, many of you may remember, lodged into the entrance to, I think, the right side, the right lung. She was wheezing a couple of days later, a day later. Went into the doctor thinking that her left lung had been deflated for whatever. It turns out air was getting in the right lung but not back out. And her life was on the line. She's tiny. We're parents. And there was nothing we physically could do. It was a scary, scary time. We went from the doctor's office directly to the hospital. There was no option. You will go there. They brought in a surgeon from one of the other hospitals, an anesthesiologist from a second hospital, equipment from a third hospital to do the surgery where we were at, the fourth hospital. This was a dicey surgery. Nuts, when they are wet, break apart. So they had a camera on forceps down through her throat, reaching in to grasp a moist-soaked peanut, trying to extract. Hospital time is a time that can be very dark. Sitting in a waiting room, praying that God's will be success in this, knowing that his will is not always what my will is, but his will is best. They explained that as they grasped the peanut, particles would go into her lungs. And they put her in an oxygen tent with ice cold air, causing her to cough, to expel as much of that. I said, how will we know? And they said, we won't. When she starts breathing better again, we'll deem it a success. We had no idea. But as you know, it was successful, and she's a very active young lady now. As I was looking at this, as I was thinking about, that's just one of many times in my wife and I's life. But each one of you have a story. It could be a friend, it could be you, it could be a child, it could be a parent. But it's real. If you were shopping for school in El Paso, Texas yesterday, things got real, real fast. You were there to get school supplies for your kids. Or if you were at a late night having fun in Dayton, Ohio last night, this morning, you weren't expecting to be in the middle of another mass killing. Dark times. And it's hard to wrap your mind around it is well with my soul. None of us are well with those events. There ain't a one, I think, would be happy or successful or happy that any of this even occurred. Those kids, as they go back to school, it will taint this year. It will taint the staff from those communities. The workplaces that people don't show up for on Monday morning and never will come back. When we feel the most alone or the most abandoned, that's when we have to listen for that voice. That's when we have to look. Could God have stopped this? Yeah. He has that ability. But he didn't. Because he has given this world over to the ruler that is there, and it's very dark. But he will return. That light will shine bright. And that steadfast love will show forth. And I pray that right now it's showing forth in those people's lives through people just like yourselves that are sitting in that community, that come to a church, that reached out to someone that they know, their neighbor down the street. That's that steadfast love that I hope and I pray God is directing into those people's lives. And I hope that your prayer is just that as well. In Psalms 107, the verses that Paula read, we're going to go through that just a little bit, and we'll expand upon that particular chapter. Verses 1 through 3, let everyone give all their praise and thanks to the Lord. Here's why. He's better than anyone could ever imagine. You know, we have a vivid imagination, but can you imagine God? He's way beyond our imaginations. Yes, he's always loving and kind, and his faithful love never ends. So go ahead. Let everyone know it. Tell the world how he broke through and delivered you from the power of darkness and has gathered us together from all over the world. And that particular verse, I hope, is going on in Ohio and in Texas today loudly, as well as in California, for these events that tear us up. He has set us free to be his very own. We belong to God. He loves us. He cares for us. We are his children. This beautiful psalm depicts people going through the ups and downs of life. Times of acceleration and times of hardship. As we go through, and I'm not going to take and expand other than just from here, four times in this Psalms as we were to read forward. So if you want something to do at home to read through, these are the verses that will come forward. He refers to those who have cried out in their trouble or distress, and the Lord delivers them. Essentially, he's saying, you probably fall into one of the categories that we're about to discuss. The four distresses include, and this is 107 from Psalms, verses 4 through 9. People were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them, and they cried to the Lord in trouble. He refers to those people that were lost, that they feel lost, and they're trying to find their way home. They don't know what they're lost. An example of this, if you want to read in the New Testament, is of the prodigal son. A story is one we've talked about many times. It's a great read. And you read it from three perspectives at least. From the son, from the older son, and from the father. People are searching for the meaning of life. They want to be accepted. Who doesn't want to be accepted? maybe in the circumstances you don't want to be accepted in a particular environment, and I get that. But there's a lot of the world you're in, you want to fit in. You don't want to be the odd person out all the time. You want to be accepted. And you want to come home. Home isn't perfect, but home carries a lot of positives. There are people that are not even sure what home is. And they fear that if they find it, they won't be welcomed. What would it be like to come home and not be welcomed? Maybe some of you have experienced that. In the church, coming home, everyone should feel welcomed. Everyone should feel, oh, I belong. I have a place. And it's part of our responsibility to extend that to everyone, to let them know that we're glad you're here. We're glad to see you. You have value. The psalmist doesn't point to the sins of those that are wandering in the desert. He didn't point out their sins at all, just their needs. The sins aren't what he's focused on. He's focused on his love for them, regardless of the circumstances that they're in. Jesus is our home. He welcomes us with a filling, and he satisfies us as nothing can. Jesus is the source that we come home to, and you are always welcomed in his home. Going on to another distress, and this is from verses 10 through 16 of 107 in Psalms. Those who are imprisoned or in bondage. Jesus came to bring liberty to all forms of bondage. Bondage doesn't mean just physical incarceration. It could be emotional, mental, bondage, habits can all be a part of what we struggle with. But within Jesus, those aren't an issue. He welcomes you home. People often talk of the sins they can't stop, habits they can't break, things that keep them in a state of spiritual bondage because the focus is on themselves. It's easy to be stuck in bondage if your focus is always on you and what you can or cannot do. If you focus on Jesus and ask him with those elements that you struggle with, you may still struggle the rest of your life. But Jesus is there working with you. He is bringing people around you to help you in that situation, to escape or to be relieved from that imprisonment of bondage. The third one is those who are suffering from sickness and disease. And we heard again in intercessory prayer, there are those that are suffering from sickness and disease. They're hurting. We have medical staff that help, and they treat, and they practice medicine. But God alone is the one that heals. When you talk about an illness, it can be of the body, the mind, or your heart. It can be physical, emotional, spiritual. Those illnesses can cripple people. We've all had different degrees of that in our life. There are times that we do much better than others, but there may be something from your past that you think you've got buried, and every now and then something triggers, and out it pops again. Does it devastate you, or can you say, Jesus, we've dealt with that. You have relieved me of that, and put it away. because God intervened in your life. That's those sufferings that many people have. And it can be devastating. And a person can look totally normal and have good health, but struggle deep with emotion and inferiority complex, a not wanted complex or not needed complex. The fourth one, again, in Psalms 107, verses 23 through 30, storms at sea. We face many different storms in our lives. God does control those storms. His love will endure any storm we face. And today, if you're in El Paso, Texas, that's probably not the time to say, you know, God's in charge and His love will endure. That might be the day you just come up and give Him a hug and don't say anything. Sometimes your presence and your expression of love without saying a word speaks volumes. And it's something that touches people's heart. You've had someone come up to you when you're hurting, and they may never say a word. But you don't doubt that they love you and they care for you and they want the very best for you. And that's Jesus. That's what He does. He touches us in the middle of all of these distresses. As we come to this next one, this is another song, another video. Watch the words. The words are there. And see if you find yourself in there. You know, as we listen to these songs, if you are familiar with the artists at all, Mercy Me, Bart Millard, that did the first one, Even If, and Mark Hall, who was with Casting Crowns, some of their life events that they went through were the inspiration for the songs. They were able to put in a song version of the pain that they were dealing with, and it was not a fun time in their life. But God used them to share with us. Jesus restores. He redeems. He heals. He frees. He delivers because of His steadfast love. It doesn't change. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, however your life is at this point, it doesn't matter. His love for you is just as strong today as it ever will be. It will not change. It won't get any more because it's as much as possible. And it won't get any less. His love is always there for you every day of your life.